Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
We know the aviation industry has been decimated by the COVID pandemic, but yesterday's news that Aer Lingus is to permanently close its crew base in Shannon Airport, resulting in 81 redundancies, and to temporarily lay off ground staff there and in Cork Airport between September and November, was greeted with dismay in the west and the south of the country. And I'm joined now by Fianna Fáil Senator and spokesperson on transport Timmy Dooley from Clare, and also Aoife McLysett, Professor of Genetics at Trinity College Dublin, and also member of the Independent Science Advocacy Group. And Timmy Dooley, I want to start with you because you were tweeting yesterday that this was a shocking decision, and you believe that in part it's down to the mandatory hotel quarantine system, which you think should be stopped now.
Yeah, thanks very much, Claire. First of all, I think we need to give recognition to the people who have lost their jobs and are facing into, you know, the first day of coming to terms with it. It's a really difficult time for them and their families. And they, like many others, have been concerned for some time about not seeing a credible recovery plan in the aviation sector. It's clear that in order to get aviation back up and running again, that you need time, you need significant amounts of money, and you need a plan. And whilst it has been talked about, it hasn't really been in place. And
so
in that context,
that's your own government's problem.
Yeah,
there.
I'm aware of that. Absolutely. But an integral part of that is the opening up of connectivity to our main markets, principally in Europe and the United States. And that does include mandatory hotel quarantine, which I believe was a reaction to a public outcry at a particular junction soon after Christmas. Whilst it may have had some merits then, I certainly believe that we're well past that now, with the rollout of vaccine very strong in Ireland, pretty strong throughout most of Europe and in the United States. We need to be identifying a time frame.
Would you really risk another COVID wave just to get aviation back up and running? Because that's what you're suggesting, isn't it?
It's not clear, actually. It's not about getting aviation up and running. It's about getting our economy back to some level of normality, a plan that works our way back through. And the level of connectedness that Ireland needs to have and has from a commercial, from a tourism perspective, both into the UK and into Europe and the United States, it's critical that we set out a roadmap that the switch doesn't have to flick tomorrow or the following day. But what airlines need is certainty.
It sounds like your problem lies with the Minister for Transport, Eamon Ryan. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying it's a requirement of government. It'll be everybody participating in identifying a plan that gives certainty in terms of timing, that gives certainty around when restrictions will lift based on certain metrics. And I've suggested one of that, of course, will be the rollout of the vaccine and any variants that might be there at a particular time. And also the recognition that there is going to be from towards the end of June onwards, this digital green cert, which is effectively a passport that will identify one's history in relation to COVID and whether or not they've been vaccinated.
Professor Aoife McLysett, as I said, is with us and you're very welcome. You've been a very strong advocate of mandatory hotel quarantine all along. Do you still believe it's important as ever?
Yes, it is. And it has been effective even in its partial implementation. And we see an example of that in that we have successfully kept out the P1 variant, the one first identified in Brazil. That was very, very concerning. It still is very concerning. It arrived here, but it was managed. It was caught partially in hotel quarantine, and other cases that got in were managed by the public health doctors. And I think that's a really bright, shining example of how this can be managed effectively, and we shouldn't stop this now. We have other variants on our doorstep that are also concerning. So right now, the B16172, the variant first identified in India, is extremely concerning in the UK. Public Health England have estimated that it might be up to 50% more transmissible than B117. And if that is true, we don't know that for sure. We know it's more transmissible, it seems quite clear. How much more transmissible, we don't know. But if that is true, it doesn't need to be anything. It doesn't need to be worse in terms of disease. It doesn't need to evade vaccines. There's enough unvaccinated people here that it would cause a huge crisis. In fact, They predict it could cause a crisis in the UK, even with their level of vaccination. So the government's policy was to wait for vaccination, then they have to wait. They're the ones who picked that policy. If they wanted to open up sooner, there were other things they should have done, things we've been advocating for all along, you know, in terms of getting the numbers under control in the country so we could open internally. But the government avoided all of those strategies and they decided to wait for the vaccine. So now they have to wait.
All right. Well, that's a fairly solid point, Timmy, that, you know, that this was government strategy. And you've said it yourself, you're looking at vaccination rollout rates, but you have to wait for it to happen.
But the reality, and I think Aoife has identified the weakness in the argument around mandatory hotel quarantine, we have a common travel area with the UK. The Indian variant is concerning in the UK at the moment, and we don't require, nor couldn't, because of our, you know, the political and the situation between ourselves, the six counties, and the UK. So people can freely come here. They don't have to quarantine on a mandatory basis. So we're still open to that variant. And I'm suggesting that whilst we have this so-called defence in place, it's really weak in terms of
the fact that we still have travel to the UK. So you don't agree with Aoife that it has worked?
I think it has picked up a number of cases. But when you consider that we have an open back door to the UK, I've met people last week who flew into Ireland from the United Arab Emirates and they didn't go through a quarantine system. I don't know how they got here, but they certainly didn't go through the quarantine system. So it's not watertight, but it is acting as a deterrent to a plan to recover the aviation sector. And it's acting as a disincentive for airlines to engage with airports in Ireland,
okay,
because they don't see a credible
plan. In a pandemic, Aoife, is it not up to the state to support those industries that are worst affected?
Absolutely. And I've said that before. In fact, I said it on your show before. I looked it up. It was in December, 3rd of December, if you want to listen back. It was obvious that was even before any hotel quarantine was here. The pandemic is what has caused a huge problem for the aviation industry globally. And if the government cares about supporting those industries, it's in their power to do something to support those industries. Whether or not hotel quarantine was introduced or not, airlines were already suffering because of the pandemic, just as economies have been suffering where the pandemic hasn't been put under control. Whether you tell people they have to quarantine or not, people are sensible. They look at what's happening and they don't want to get into an airplane and get into close quarters with other people when there's a pandemic raging. So it is up to the government to support those industries. And it's a rather peculiar defence to say that the implementation of hotel quarantine has been incomplete by the government and therefore that you know, it shouldn't be done more. I don't understand why the fact that it's been done partially and not comprehensively is somehow a reason not to do it better. We know it works, it can work, and it's our best defence at the moment. And it's what we need to protect the planned reopening for the summer so that we don't end up in crisis again, so people can have their holiday in Mayo.
Timmy, what are you saying? Are you saying mandatory hotel quarantine should end now because of the economic impact on places like where you are right now and that shock that happened in Shannon yesterday?
I'm saying the best advice should be taken about identifying when it's going to end. I certainly believe that it needs to be connected to completion of certain levels of vaccination. We know that the 40 to 49 cohort will be registering for vaccination towards the end of this week or early next week. And generally that means they're vaccinated within a week. The 50 to 60 cohort, I think, will be probably vaccinated by the end of this week. Mm-hmm. That's a very significant move. And look, the reality is there's going to be variants of this disease around for the coming years. We're going to have to learn to live with it. The vaccination plan and programme gives us the best chance. What Aoife and nobody really knows is whether these variants, whilst they may be more transmissible, are they you know, does the vaccine work on them? And the evidence to date seems to suggest that most of the variants are mitigated significantly in terms of
isn't the uncertainty the point though? Isn't the uncertainty why you keep those measures in place until we are certain?
But in achieving certainty there, Claire, you may end up destroying an entire sector. The reality is that other countries are starting to open up. Airlines have assets, as they call them, which are aeroplanes, that they can move quite readily to other locations. It is really important that we have some level of international tourism. this year, towards the end of the summer.
You don't lay any of the blame here at Aer Lingus's door. I mean, this is a company that was given 150 million euro in estate loan towards the back end of last year, beginning of this year. Now, maybe the government were at fault in that they didn't attach any conditions to that with regards to Shannon. But do you think that Aer Lingus perhaps could have held out here?
Yes, I do. And I have publicly stated that I felt that Aer Lingus jumped the gun a little bit in relation to the closure of the base. There's no doubt that the company is in a very perilous state, as all airlines are. I think it was somewhat disingenuous to jump the gun. They had been talking to government, they had been looking for support, and they have gotten very significant support in terms of the temporary wage subsidies that were there, employment wage subsidies, other additional supports, and 150 million of support from the ISAF fund. But notwithstanding that, there's the bigger picture, and that's really the protection of not just the aviation sector, but it feeds into the tourism sector. There's upwards of a quarter of a million people across the state that work in aviation, tourism and hospitality. The airline access to the country, or aviation access to the country, provides the lifeline to that sector. Okay. And it is incumbent that we do everything possible. And we have to recognise that we need to learn to live with COVID. And I'm really adamant
so
that we've got to move beyond this notion of zero COVID.
Your government needs a plan. Aoife, do you think if there was more coordination in Europe, we could have a wider international travel, or an EU-wide bubble at the very least at this stage?
If there had been before now, yeah. So that was actually a really badly missed opportunity, I think, within Europe to have better coordination within the EU. And we're not in that situation now. And just with regard to what was just said there, yes, so far what we know is that the vaccines do work against all of the variants. And we're very lucky that that's true. But it doesn't work until you've received it and it's had a chance to elicit an immune response. So, you know, we are talking about a situation where still huge numbers in this country have not received their vaccine, and they won't receive their vaccine until much later in the year. And so opening prematurely still can cause a huge crisis, especially if you have a highly transmissible variant. It can run through the younger age groups where, yes, the percentage of people who get badly affected is smaller, but a small percentage of a large number is still a large number. And that would potentially be a huge crisis. And we have to avoid that. We can't make the same mistakes again we did at Christmas, where we talked about opening for a meaningful Christmas. The tourism industry in Ireland had a good summer last year. If you talk about the coastal tourist industry, they said they had a great summer with domestic tourism. That can happen again. The airline industries can have specific supports because, yes, they have been affected. Mm-hmm. But we need to, if we want to have a better long-term response, a coordinated European response would be really, really welcome. And there have been groups calling for that.
Yeah, and I think that coordinated approach is happening with the agreement around the use of the digital green certificate, which is effectively a passport that traces your history in relation to COVID, your vaccination, or whether or not you've had the disease and at what point you've had it, so that it gives certainty to people travelling to other countries that they're not bringing the infection with them. But whilst you talk about
it, doesn't protect against transmission, actually. So it'll protect the individual from disease. But if your travel restrictions are in order to protect the population in place, that you don't introduce new variants, that is not going to
help. But I think
help.
The recognition is in the way in which the European Union purchased the vaccines. The idea is that countries will be rolling out based on population at in or about the same time. So, of course, we can work towards opening up and having access to each other's domestic tourism markets. Okay. But you talk about the solution being the staycations. Whilst that may benefit the coastal communities, and the county that I come from, Clare, has a buoyant trade along the western seaboard. We had a relatively good summer last year. But inland towns like Shannon and Ennis, and places like Drumoland and Bunratty, that depend very heavily on the international markets, have been devastated and will continue to be. And that's having very significant impacts on the lives, on the livelihoods, and on the mental well-being of many,
and I'm
many
sure
people.
It has, but it won't be helped by opening prematurely. And we saw that, you know, if you just open up and if it causes another surge, that doesn't help anybody. What we all should be aiming for is a stable and permanent reopening. And that is based on, yes, looking at the vaccine numbers, but not skipping ahead. You have to wait until a sufficient number of people have received the vaccine, and also meanwhile getting the numbers down.
Okay.
It's,
you know, but in order to give
no
certainty, Aoife, I think we need to set what those levels of vaccination is.
Yes, about 80% of the entire population, including everybody, so not just the adult population. We're not going to arrive there until about September.
Okay,
well,
we'll leave it there.
If we wait until September, we'll have a much bigger problem across the state.
All right, Senator Timmy Dooley, Professor Aoife McLeister, thank you both indeed for joining us.